Wow.
Blog Good evening. Talk Radio.
Greetings. Welcome to Eagles Life Rebuilding Center. Tonight's lesson is any man in Christ is a new creature. And we're talking about looking out for the whale. And our discussion is on the book of Jonah. We understand that Jonah was a prophet. He was a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel during the political, prosperous, but spiritually dark reign of King Jeroboam. Jonah jumped into a whale of his own creation. I know it sounds strange for me to say that. We understand that God created the whale as a deterrent from Jonah being disobedient and running from his charge. But there's always a reaction to every action. And we understand that when God put the charge upon Jonah, that he thought running would be his answer. Running from our responsibilities sometimes may seem like the only solution. Depends on what the circumstance or the situation is. And so we feel like, okay, that's the best solution to the problem or the situation. I don't want to deal with it, you know, at this time. But it's never the best answer. Running, no matter what it seems like or sounds like, it's never the best answer. Some tasks that we are given or charged to do may be a little harder or even seem like it's not right or it's not for me. But if the job is yours, guess what? You're the only one that can do it, and you have to do it. Because if God gives you a charge to do something, He doesn't mean for you to pass it on to someone else. It's not my job, or you do it. Or if he wanted somebody else to do it, he would have chosen someone else. So running, really, running from your responsibility is just futile, especially running from God. I mean, you're just wasting your time. David said it best when he said, where can I go to be away from you? I mean, if I go to hell, you're there. If I go to heaven, the utmost parts of the earth, wherever I go, Lord, you're there. So you can't run from the charge that God has on your life. And so the way we are today, we choose our own tasks or our own jobs to do, but it don't always work out. So you want to make your own challenges. Sometimes God allows challenges so that we can get to a certain point in life or to wake us up so we can see certain areas in our lives that we need to fix or correct. We're always seeking out the easy way when there are tasks put before us or jobs set before us. We don't want anything too exhausting. We don't want anything that's too time-consuming or, you know, nothing that's going to hinder, you know, what we've already planned for ourselves. But it's sad. It's real sad because that's the mindset of most Christians today. It's like, let someone else do it. And why are they always bothering me with it, you know? And I already know how it's going to end up. You know, I don't want to do it. But if we go back to Jonah, just to kind of coin the whole scenario of the situation, in spite of all Jeroboam's spiritual failures, his territory was to grow and to expand, just the way Jonah had predicted. So, at that time, Nineveh was a key city in the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyria's power had swelled. We know that Assyria the Assyrian army, especially under King Sennacherib, was a powerful army, and they were dangerous people. And so for God to tell Jonah, okay, I want you to go and prophesy to these people, I can understand that fear probably came into him. You know, he knew what they do with prophets over there and that stuff. So he didn't want to get into that. But the book of Jonah is it actually have like two parts. So Jonah rejects the Lord's commission, and instead of heading for Nineveh, he thought he'd run in the other direction, in the opposite direction. But if you know God and the move of God, I don't care what direction you go in, it's always going to lead you back to where God wants you to be. And that's our God. So running from him is not going to do it. I mean, you just might as well settle down and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. You make the way, and I'll work it out. Just look out for the whale. You're running from the charge that God gave you, running from situations. Not only that, there are circumstances in our lives. We make circumstances, or we make situations, or we have responsibilities, and because it does not fit the plan or the profile that I have set up for my future or for things that I want to do, then we run away from that. Husbands run away from their wives and their children because they're tired of responsibility, they're tired of going to work, they're tired of paying bills and take care of the family. Wives run away from their husbands, she's tired of the responsibility of the husband and the children. Children run away from home, they don't want to obey their parents, they're tired of responsibility of acting like children. I mean, today kids grow up so fast, and now they want to be the adult. And it's sad, but a lot of kids are telling their parents what to do. They're just running their household. And then we have dads, what they call deadbeat dad today. We have fathers that are just dropping babies everywhere and just going on about their lives, you know, like, the, you know, they don't have any responsibility. They're not taking charge. And so their children are growing up in broken homes or what they call dysfunctional households, and they turn out to be not the best children, and they're in prison or they're in jail or in and out or something or another or dead or killed or whatever the case may be. And so we run away from our situations and our responsibilities, and there's always a reaction. If your action is to run and desert, There will be a fall. There will be an adverse reaction to that, and it's going to be on you or your responsibility. So if we look at Jonah, the first chapter of the book of Jonah, and this kind of covers his disobedience. He ran from the Lord. I tell you, when you know God, I'm telling you, especially if you are a Bible reader. There are some people that say they know God and they don't read the Word. If you don't read the Bible and try to get understanding and clarity on who God is, then you really don't know Him. And so a lot of things you do out of the will of God, you do that because you don't know God. Because to know God is to follow His laws and His precepts, to be holy, the bottom line. And so Jonah really thought that he could run from God. I guess, you know, a lot of people today think the same thing. So if we look over chapter 1, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. He said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and announce that my judgment is against it, because I have seen how the wicked people are in that area. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction, to get away from the Lord, to get away from the Lord. The Bible says that God is everywhere. How can we in our little finite minds can think that we can run in any direction to get away from God? I mean, to tell you, if you lock up in the closet, He's there with you too. Boom, there He is. So, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't get away from God. Verse 3 says, but Jonah got up and he went in the opposite direction. Wow. And we do that all the time. If God gives us a charge to do, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your heart, and you know it's the Lord. You know God wants you to do it. But because, like I said earlier, it does not fit your plan or your profile, and now it's like, I got something I want to do. I've already set my calendar. I already have a date. I already have this set up that I want to do, but the Lord is telling you to do something else. And you feel like, okay, I'm not doing that right now. Do it in my own timing. That's sad, because then you'll be like Israel when they did not go when Moses told them to go and Joshua told them to go. Then they tried to go on their own, and they went without God, and all of them were killed. If God say move, it behooves you. It's in your best interest to move then. And don't try to, you know, set your own time. Well, he want me to do it today, but you know what? I got something to do. I'll do it in the morning. Well, tomorrow morning, it's too late. When God say now, it's now. So Jonah figured, okay, well, let me take off and go in the other direction. Surely I can get away from what God wants me to do. So he ran in opposite direction. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He brought a ticket for himself, bought a ticket rather for himself, and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. How are you going to run from God? Oh, my Lord, especially in a ship sailing on an ocean. I mean, he parted the sea for Israel to cross over. I mean, surely he'll be in the ocean or he'll be in the sea wherever you go. I mean, you cannot run from him. So he bought the ticket thinking, okay, surely let me sail over to Tarshish. God can't not be over there. Maybe Tarshish was such a bad place. He thought, okay, well, there's no way. The way those people are, God is not there. But now look at it now. He was in Nineveh, and he saw their deeds and their works in Nineveh, so he told Jonah to go there and warn them, in other words. Sometimes people don't want to warn you. People will see you headed for destruction. They will see something bad or something that's out of the ordinary about to happen in your life, and they can help you out or they can stop it from happening. But because of the selfishness of their hearts, they will watch you fall into a trap, and they could have done something to help you. And so it's kind of like what Jonah's done. I can save Nineveh, but you know what? I don't like them no way, so I'm going in the other direction. So he actually thought this would help. So verse 4 says, "But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. And so, fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help, and they threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship." So here we are. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hull of the ship. So the captain went down after him, and he said to him, "How can you sleep at a time like this? Get up and pray to your God. Maybe, just maybe, he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Everybody's praying to all these different gods. So he's like, "Jonah, wake up and go pray to your God." So in verse 7, "Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods," plural gods with a small g, "and caused this terrible storm." And when they did this, the lots identified that Jonah was the culprit. Wow. Here we go. They look at him and go, "Why has this awful storm come down on us? Why? Who are you? What is in your work? What did you do? What country are you from? And what is your nationality?" Jonah answered. I can almost see him cowling a little, almost to fear, and saying, probably full of fear, to tell you the truth. And he said, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Wow. I mean, you spoke that out of your mouth. You get on a ship, go on the sea to run from the God that made the sea. Wow. That's really, really crazy. And so verse 10, "The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord." "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do with you just so we can stop this storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Even in the midst of this, these men who served other gods other than the true and the living God still had compassion on Jonah. Instead of throwing him overboard like he asked them to, they tried to save him. They said, "Okay, let us row harder. Maybe if we row harder, we can make it to the land, to the shore, and we can save all of us." But it was not. I mean, God, this was God's doing. So you can't even row your way up from God. And so now that the storm got worse and things start, the boats and the ships start to turn. And so they begin to cry out to the Lord, to Jonah's God. "Oh, Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. And that's good, because they didn't even ask God why. Why did you do this? Why did you send this to this man? And then we're all in the midst of it too. He said, you sent this on him for your own good reasons. A lot of times we question God when things are not the way we want them to be, when we ran and jumped into the whale's belly, running away from God. Now we want to know, why did this happen to me? Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? These men didn't know God, but they knew he had to be the God of heaven, because the way that storm was doing them and the way God was moving the waves and the wind, they knew that he had to. So they were wondering, you know, what did this guy do? But then they're telling God, you know you brought this on him for you have your reasons why you did this, your own good reason. In other words, I'm not questioning you, God. But do we have to die with him? I mean, we didn't have no part of this. Whatever he did, that's on him, not us. And so I'm paraphrasing here. We know the man didn't say that, but I'm just throwing that in there just for free. And so And they begin to ask him, don't hold us responsible for his death too? I mean, if you're going to kill him, we're trying to save him. If you're going to kill him, don't kill him in our ship. Don't make it, you know, our fault that he dies. I mean, if we can save him, please let us save him. And so the sailors pick Jonah up, and they threw him in the raging sea, and the storm immediately the storm stops at once, right away. And so the sailors were in awe, and they were just like, wow, by the Lord's great power. And they offered him a sacrifice, and they vowed to themselves to start to serve the living God. They saw the work and the power of the living God. There are people that see the hand of God move. They've seen it from day one when they came into the Lord, but now they've graduated. Now they have these titles and they're big shots now, whatever the case may be. And now it becomes a game. It's like, what can I do to make money off of the move of God? These people saw the hand of God and how God moved, and they were not serving the living God at that time. But now they're going to serve him. Let's offer a sacrifice to this God. This must be the living God. This must be the true and the living God. Lord, we will serve you for the rest of our lives. How many people have made that vow to God and broke it so many times? Serving their automobiles, serving their houses, their monies, their finances, when it comes to bringing monies to the house of the Lord to help with the expenses in the house of God, we first want to do our own thing first, and then maybe, you know, what change is left, we'll give it to the Lord. You know, we'll give it to the works of the Lord. We don't really want to do that. And so these people, they just said, okay, let's offer sacrifice to God. And so from now on, we're going to serve this God. This is the true and living God. So verse 17, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside of the fish for 3 days and three nights. I don't think it really took him that long to come to his senses. I think probably a couple hours he was good. But sometimes it takes a little while for some stuff to get out of you. People come to the Lord and they say, you know what? I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to make this change. But there's still some stuff they like to try to hold on to. They won't let go. And you have to understand that in order to make it in God, you got to let go of the world. You can't bring the world with you. It's all spiritual in God. I mean, the things that's more important to God are not the things of the world. And so when you're in God, your mind changes in a lot of areas and in a lot of instances. And when you come to serve God, you say, okay, I have to let this go. It was fun when I was on the other side. I'm not on that side anymore. And so some things you have to let go. 3 days he was in the whale's belly. And I'm sure it was probably dark in there, it probably was stinky in there, all this other stuff down there in the whale's belly with him. The whales could have, I mean, there's something in their belly that dissolves the food. Things could have happened to him where he could have been whale food or fish food, actually, whatever the case may be, a giant fish food. He could have been dinner, but God kept him in that place. And sometimes 3 days was not a long time, but it probably felt like a lifetime to him. And some of the things that we go through and the trials that we're in, and we're in, we throw ourselves in the whale's belly because we've run from God, because God has already searched for us. He's already told us what to do. He already put a charge on us, and we either do it for a while and stop. We're tired. We don't want to do it no more. Or this one ain't there. This one not doing it, so I'm not going to do it. Whatever the case may be, it's not good. It's never a good reason not to do what thus says the Lord. So whatever your reason is, it's nothing. It doesn't matter. It's null and void. You may as well keep it to yourself. Any parent out that's listening to me, and you know your children, and they've done something that you have told them several times, don't do this. If you do it, I'm going to spank you. I mean, for the parents that spank their children, because these days parents don't do that no more. But you're harming your child, whether you know it or not, if you allow them to be disrespectful and not judge them in any way. But, and you spank them after they've done it and you told them not to, and you give them a spank and you deal with them. And so when it comes to them to do it again, they think twice. So I think by the time Jonah would have gotten out of his whale's belly in them 3 days that may seem like 3 years to him, he would think twice before running from what God tell him to do again. Because that in that situation, it could have been all kind of stuff going on down there in that whale's belly. Fear out of this world going through him and praying. He probably calling on the Lord. He probably got horse calling on God. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Something. Lord, put me out of this well. Lord, whatever this is I'm in, save me. Take me out of here. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I won't do it. And when people are in situations like that, somebody may be in a whale's belly even right now. Whatever you're going through in your trial or your situation that you're going through, God is speaking to you. If you're a child of the Lord and you're going through something, some difficult situation in your life, you need to ask God, what is it that you're trying to tell me or trying to perfect in me? Because God is speaking to you. No situation can occur in your life unless God allowed it to happen. And he won't allow it to happen unless there's a reason for it or he can get the glory out of it. Let's deviate just a little bit from Jonah and go to Job. Now, listen, the Bible clearly states that Job was a man without error. He eschewed, which means he ran from evil. He avoided evil at all costs. I mean, some people love to be around evil. I'm telling you, I see this every day in my school when I see kids copying other kids. When they know that what this child did is going to get him in trouble, either get him expelled or suspended or whatever the case may be. And in fact, they jump up and do the same thing, like, oh, okay, he's in trouble. Let me get in trouble too. Wow. So when you're in this situation, Job was a man that ran from evil. This is the type of people that God wants us to be. But he's also a man that he lived right. He obeyed God. He worshiped the Lord. And the thing that a lot of parents don't even do today, but thank God for the opportunity to do it, is he prayed for his children every day. And his reason for praying for them is not, you know, just praying for them, Lord, you know, bless them with a house, car, land, and all that kind of stuff. But he prayed repentance prayer for his own children. They're grown, married, with kids. They should be praying their own prayer. But he prayed for them like most of us do for our kids. But he prayed for God to forgive them. He said, they may have sinned against you, Lord. I don't know, but just in case they did sin, would you please forgive them their sins? Now, if they're not asking God, but their father is. So he had a relationship and a connection with God, but there still was something in him that needed to be fixed. And there's always, I don't care who you are, I don't care how many colleges you've been to, I really don't care. And I don't care how full you are with the Holy Ghost, you think you are in this flesh. And I don't care what your title is or your topic is, whatever the case may be, I don't know, whatever the handle is before or behind your name, doesn't really matter with God. You don't even need to use that in when it comes to God. So whatever it is, it doesn't really matter because if there's something in you that needs to be fixed, God has a way of fixing it. And so there was something that needed to be fixed in Job. If you read the scriptures, you did notice that for whether Job did kind of say, you know, well, you know, God didn't have there's no justifiable reason, and I'm putting my words here, that this is happening to me. I'm basically a good man. never done anything. I'm always giving to the poor, the sick, whatever, helping people. I share my wealth. You know, I pray and talk, serve the Lord. So basically, I'm good. But Jesus corrected the disciples when they called him good master. He said, there's none good but the Father. And so God heard that. And then he knew that Job would not turn away from him, but he also knew that there's something that had to be fixed in Job. And that's a little pride. We all got something in this flesh that's not connected to God, that need to be moved. And that's why it's such a work to stay saved. It's such a work to stay holy. The Bible says, Apostle Paul said, we ought to work out our own soul salvation daily with fear and trembling. And that means you put your Bible on the shelf till Sunday, or you pray, you stop praying until something happens. You know, something happens and you fall on your knees. Come on, let's pray. Let's join hands. Let's pray, and let's do this, whatever the case may be. Well, you have to understand that God is a true and a living God. And the God that we serve, glory to God, is a holy God. But he sees in us that our desire is to please him. I mean, most of us. And so, okay, look, you need to do this. I need to scrub you in the corner over there. So I need to clean you up. You're not working in that corner over there to get that out. So what I need to do is I need to get you ready. And so he'll allow things to happen. So therefore, we end up in the proverbial whale's belly, like Jonah did. So thank you. God bless you. Right now, we're going to cut off our Bible study for tonight. This was brief. I said a short time. But we'll go a little bit longer on next week. Just wanted to give you a little bit of the whale. We're going to talk a little bit more about Jonah next week and what happens when we get into the whale's belly and how we need to try to avoid going there. We need to work harder is what it is. And you don't have time to rest. You don't have time to stop and say, okay, I'm going to take a break. I'm taking a break from church. I'm taking a break from going to Bible study. I'm taking a break from reading my Bible. I'm taking a break from praying. You can't. We don't have time to take a break. And if anybody is in tune to what's happening around us all the time, you know that you don't have time to take a break. So let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the listening audience tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that we've heard thus far. We ask that you write it upon the tables of our heart, that we'll always remember your word and not sin against. We thank you for divine revelations and knowledge, Father. We thank you for those that are within the sound of my voice. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will reach out and touch them, Lord God, to bring about a change in their lives and the lives of their families. Father God, that none would be lost, Father. We wish that no soul would be lost, Father. Oh, God, that those that walked away from you would turn back to you, Father God. And, Father, we thank you that your will is being done in our lives, even to this moment, right now, to this very hour, Father God, and we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody in the sound of my voice, you be blessed and have a wonderful day in Jesus. I'll see you on next Wednesday, same time.